The image that Jesus gives us today of his being the true vine and our being branches grafted onto that vine is very instructive for us. But I think there are any number of aspects of the image that we would do well with to meditate on. So I offer them to you. But I don't know, probably begin by asking whether or not anybody here is a vine grower. Anybody? The hills of Bhutan has no vine grower. You don't grow vines. Roses, anyone? Roses? Yeah, then we know what it means, I think, if we're invested in that work. We know the significance of pruning. Because if we don't prune, whether it's vine, rose bushes, they'll grow of their own accord, but they won't produce what they were intended to produce. So a rose bush starts growing in on itself. The unfruitful branches block the light of the ones that perhaps would bear the richer fruit. And we're stuck with, say, like, we could be stuck with, two dozen little roses, scraggly little things. Or if we trim it properly, we expose the right branches to sunlight, we cut out the branches that will not bear fruit and they're just sucking nutrients out, then we'll end up with perhaps a half dozen beautiful roses, the sort that you'd want to give your wife, I think. But in that sense, we see if we're close to pruning, if we're involved in that work, we understand the intimate work of the garden. We can see then just how close God the Father is to us as the vine grower, how he would have to be intimately involved in every aspect of our lives in order to prune back just a little bit, this one little branch that in us doesn't bear fruit, that he might rearrange us slightly so as to allow each part of the branch to reach its proper fulfillment. Okay, and that's us, right? And what is this fruit that we are to bear? Of course, the vine grower or the rose cultivator has made the determination himself or herself what the end result is to be. God has that design on us. He's the one who understands and knows what a fully flourishing Daniel looks like. Right? He's the one who understands what a fully flourishing Frank looks like. He's the one who understands what a fully flourishing Georgia looks like. Yet it's his plan. It's his design. And so we simply, as the vine, submit ourselves to him. And we allow God to speak that word of pruning into our hearts. In fact, we should beg him for it, that God reveal himself to us and show us how we can say yes to his plan, to his life at work in our hearts and wanting to bear fruit in our lives. The fruit, by the way, when we follow God, when we say yes to him, when we trust Jesus and follow him where he leads, the fruit that we will bear in our hearts and in our personal lives and in our relationships, the relationships that God calls us to grow, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. So we have that in our minds, what it looks like, the flowering of our lives, the flourishing of our lives. And now we want to say yes to God. We allow him to speak into our hearts and lives. And when he says, Daniel, do that. Daniel, why don't you go and see whether or not that person's okay? And I say, you know, God, that person's like on the other side of the street. Surely you can't want me to go and check to see if they're okay. But maybe so, right? Maybe someone's looking downcast and the Holy Spirit is prompting us, right? Speaking into our hearts. Maybe you want to see, put a hand on the shoulder. I say, but God, right? I don't put hands on shoulders. It's not my thing, God, you know? He's like, well, trust me and follow me. Do what I'm asking you to do, right? That's God vine dressing. Likewise, when God says, "No, Daniel, you may want to hold your tongue on that." And I say, "Oh, yeah, God, I may want to, but I may want to say something anyway because I would enjoy that," right? And so these are examples, right? We're advised, we're exhorted in the scriptures to not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit, and we should expect this because we are branches in the vine. So we should expect, this is the life of God welling up within us. This is what we're drawing from the vine. When God is calling us to do something, we simply do it. And if we don't, then we are grieving, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. Because that life is flowing through us and we're saying, "No, I'm going to hold off there." And the other is grieving, right? When the Holy Spirit is trying to prevent us from doing something that he knows we want to do and we're going to do. And we do it anyway, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. But the answer to both, say, quenching and grieving and avoiding this quenching or grieving of the Holy Spirit is simply to submit ourselves, to recognize that still small voice of God in our hearts moving us this way or that, preventing us from going this way or that, and trust him and follow him. And we'll find then that as we trust and follow him, we bear this fruit of the Spirit and we allow God in us and through us to build up a civilization of love. So not just the flourishing of our own individual hearts and lives, but the flourishing also of our close communities and our communities far and wide, that his fruit then may be sustenance, nourishment, and strength for all the people we encounter.